Our scripture text this morning is in Romans chapter 12. We had this as our reading from God's law a few weeks ago, but in looking at this whole subject of submission, there seemed to be no better place than where we have been in Philippians 2 and here in Romans 12 to get a flavour for what it means practically when a church lives in the kind of submission that she should live in according to the Word of God. And as we read through this chapter from the book of Romans, look out for the one another's. Look out for the appeals to every member of the church to be humble in their relationships with one another and with God. The Apostle Paul writes this: "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." May God add his blessing to that reading from his word. Perfect submission is the title and the theme of this message. A few years ago, Pam and I were at a wedding where the pastor, in his sermon, mentioned the submission of the wife to her husband. And afterwards, in the reception, a woman who was there was heard saying to her husband, "Well, I'm not submitting to you anyway." And that was a shame, but it is so typical, and it's nothing new. Way back in the time of the Reformation, Calvin wrote this: "Nothing is more adverse to the disposition of man than subjection. For it was formerly very truly said that everyone has within him the soul of a king. Until then, the high spirits with which the nature of man swells are subdued. No man will give way to another. But, on the contrary, each one, despising others, will claim all things for himself." That is the attitude that we find in the world. The world is adverse to subjection, and yet God's order is built upon that very principle of subjection or submission. For a society to work, there must be submission. Submission to authorities, submission in the workplace, submission in marriage. And it is true that the presence of God in a nation can be measured by the amount of submission that there is. When God is very present in revival and his spirit is poured out upon a land, you find more submission. You find times in the history of revival when the courtrooms were closed because there were no crimes to be tried. You find times of peace and harmony in the land. The more of God present in a land, the more submission you will find. And it's also true in the church. For the church to work, there must be submission. Submission to God. Submission to the elders of the church. Submission to one another. And we can measure the presence of God in a church, as it were, by the amount of that submission that there is. The more God is present in and among his people, the more submission there will be. And we know, we've already talked about Christ being an example. We'll see his submission later. It shouldn't surprise us that if God pours out his Spirit upon us to make us more like Christ, then we become more submissive. And that is how this operates. So it's clearly a very important subject for us to look at this morning. And we're going to ask ourselves, where are we? As individuals, and as a church, and as a society, in this whole matter of submission, and in knowing the presence of God in our midst. And we're going to look at four aspects this morning. The first of them is this: to whom should we submit? The second: what does this not mean in practice? Thirdly: what does it mean? And lastly, the example of Christ in all of this. So firstly then, to whom should we submit? And there is one root word in the New Testament that's used in many different places and translated as submission and subjection. And it means to place under, to place yourself under someone, to subject yourself, either to be put in subjection, which is not voluntary, or voluntarily to subject yourself. To submit to one's control, to someone else's control. To yield to someone's admonition or advice. To obey, to be subject. And an interesting little footnote that I came across here is that this is a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. And in its non-military use, the word was used to indicate a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. That's what this word, submission or subjection, means. Now let's see to whom we are to submit. And it's everywhere in Scripture. First of all, we are to submit to God. James 4 and verse 6 says, "He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And James has been talking in this passage about proud and worldly behavior, and how these are a sign of enmity with God. And then comes the command, submit to God. Place yourselves under God. Obey him. Yield to his admonition. Be subject to him. And I have to ask right at the outset, have you done that? Have you submitted to God? Every one of you, boys and girls, have you submitted to God? Have you placed yourself under him as your king and your Lord, to yield to him, to give in to him, to obey his commands? Now the world still tells us exactly the opposite. You don't want this God as your king. Reject his rules. Live your own life. Do your own thing. You don't want to live for him. But we know, those of us who belong to Christ, that that is the path of destruction and death. We know that only in Christ is there life, and that we must submit to him. That we must give up any thought of working out our own salvation in terms of earning credit and merit with God, because we have none. We must submit to Christ and to what he did here on earth in living a perfect life, and in what he did humbling himself to death upon the cross. We must submit. We must turn away from our sin and believe on Christ, and then we shall have life. Are you, have you, submitted to Christ? Are you continuing daily to do so, to yield to him, to obey him in every aspect of your life, eager, seeking out his will for yourself in his word, to abase yourself before him and to obey? We are to submit first and foremost to God. But secondly, we are to submit to the leaders of the church. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. When it comes to the elders of the church, the word is the same. We are to place ourselves under them, under their authority. We are to obey them. We are to yield to their admonition, to be subject to them, insofar as they are ruling the church according to the word of God. Now, members here, you have vowed to do this when you were received into membership. One of the vows that you took was that you would heed the discipline and the government of this church. Are you doing that? Are you seeking to make the life and the work of our elders a joy and not a grief, because it's not profitable to you when their labors are a grief to them? The world tells us, of course, as you might expect, that these men have no right to interfere in our lives, because we are the masters of our own affairs, both spiritually and temporally. But this is not how God has ordered the church. One reason why we are to be church members is precisely to be under that authority and under that discipline. Because God knows that we are prone to wander. We are prone to leave his paths and to wander off, or we like sheep have gone astray. And our souls are too precious, and God will therefore have us under the care of his under shepherds to watch over our souls and to bring us through to present us to Christ spotless on that last day. Now, you'll find this is watered down in many churches to suit the temper of the age. Some churches don't even have membership. Some churches certainly don't exercise any kind of discipline. Some churches don't see the elders as those who rule the church under God. But that is how God has established his church, and we are to submit to our elders. And as we look here for men to fill this office of elder, one thing we need to bear in mind is that we are to look for men to whom we are willing gladly to submit. So we are to submit to the leaders of the church. We're to submit as well to older people in the church. 1 Peter 5:5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter has been talking about the elders, the leaders of the church. And then he comes here and the commentators say, well, I think it can be taken both ways. He's talking to the younger men and saying, you need to submit to older people in the church. And we know from Scripture that it is right to submit to those who are older than we are, and for children to submit to parents. But in the world, of course, the elderly are an inconvenience very often. They're seen as killjoys, people who spoil our fun with all of their counsel When we ask them for wisdom, we don't often hear what we want to hear, because what we want to hear is something that allows us to do what we want to do. And when the wisdom of the elderly comes and is for caution, then we don't like it. But God would have us humbly to submit to those who are older, to place ourselves under them, to obey them, to yield to their admonition, to be subject to them insofar as they are godly examples to us. Are we doing that, you young people? Are you doing that with those older than you? You children, are you submitting to your parents, because that is right in the Lord? Next, we are to submit to one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We are to submit to one another. In the body of Christ, we are to submit to one another, to place ourselves under one another, to consider ourselves the least, the chief of sinners, to put ourselves at the end of the line, not at the front, to consider ourselves the lowest, to yield to the admonition of others, to be subject to them in the fear of Christ. Are we doing that? Is that our attitude here? Are we submitting that way to one another? Or do we more often look for faults that we can accuse than we look for Christ's likeness that we can imitate? If they are your brothers and sisters in Christ, then Christ has died for them. And we are to submit to them because he has accepted them. And he tells us that to be great in his kingdom, we must place ourselves last of all. Are we doing that this morning? We read next that wives are to submit to husbands. Many verses teach this in the scriptures. Colossians 3:18 is one of them. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That is God's order in a marriage. Wives are to obey their husbands, to yield to their admonition, to be subject to them. The world, of course, tells us that women should not subject themselves in that way, that they should strike out on their own, that they should rival their husbands and contend for the place of leadership in the relationship. But God would have it otherwise. Wives are to submit. Wives, are you submitting to your husbands? The world praises men who take a back seat while their wives contend for this leadership. Husbands, have you abrogated, laid on one side, your responsibility to be the head of the household, not lording it over your wife? Because in God's sight, we are equals in terms of our salvation. But for the order in society and in the marriage relationship, the husband is the head of the wife. Husbands, are you heads over your wives? Next, we are to submit to human authorities. Many scriptures on this. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to the king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. We are to place ourselves under the secular authorities. We are to obey them, yield to their admonition, be subject to them insofar as they do not command us to do things contrary to the will and the law of God. But the world tells us, doesn't it, to despise all authority except me. Well, are we submitting to the authorities God has instituted, to local, state, and federal laws and officials? And lastly, here we are to submit to employers. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable, for this finds favour if for the sake of conscience towards God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. We are to place ourselves under our employers, to obey them, to yield to their admonition, to be subject to them insofar as they do not ask us to do things that are contrary to the law and the will of God. But the world tells us to shortchange our employers, to give as little as we can get away with and to take as much as we can, so that we embellish our jobs with so-called perks, which are not really provided by the company, but things that we take because we think that we deserve it. Well, now, are you submitting to your employer here out of reverence for Christ? Or has this attitude of the world crept in to your thinking, to my thinking, so that we do not yield that submission that we should? Now, I think you can see from this survey that we are to be submissive in many, many areas of our lives. It's to characterize us as the children of God. But we need to understand a little bit more about this submission in case there should be any misconceptions. So let's look next at what it does not mean to be submissive and to be in subjection in this way. And I've been hinting at this as we've gone through. It does not mean that we are to compromise the truth. We cannot, as some do, lay the truth upon an altar and sacrifice it so that we can get what some people call unity. The whole ecumenical movement, when different churches come together and they sacrifice primary truths of the gospel so that they can achieve what they think is a form of unity. We are not to do that. We must defend the truth at all costs, and not by our submission surrender it. But I'm talking, of course, about primary truths. There are other matters, and there will always be other matters of difference between believers, about which there should be no division, but only an agreement to disagree in love and to seek God for more light so that we can come to an understanding according to his word. This submission does not mean that we are to be led into sin. We're not to submit to anyone if by submitting it would cause us to sin. We're not to violate our consciences. Some people, the word of God tells us, can do certain things, and for them it is not sin because they are convinced in their own minds that they have liberty to do it. And that's fine. But we should not go along with them in doing that if we have doubts in our own hearts about whether it's right or not, because then for us it is sin. And whatever is not of faith is sin. So we are not to go along with others who do things where their consciences are clear if by doing so our consciences are violated. And also, it does not mean that we are to be weak and woolly. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And he was. gentle and meek and mild. Was he weak? Did he lack courage? Was he not what we would call a man in today's society? No. He was strong. He knew his father's will and he set out to do it. He was courageous. What courage he shows us in many areas of his life. If we are weak and woolly, then we are going to go along with whatever anybody says. We'll submit to one view one moment, we'll submit to the opposite view the next. We are not to be like that. We are to be grounded in the Word of God, strong in the faith, and then submit according to the will of God. So that's something of what this does not mean. What does it mean? There are many scriptures that expand upon this whole concept of submission. It means, firstly, we are to be humble. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You will have seen the word humility in many of the passages we've looked at this morning. And it is at the very heart of this issue of submission. We are to be humble. We are rightly to assess ourselves. We saw that in Romans 12. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment. We are to consider others better than ourselves. That's what we saw in Philippians 2 in our reading from God's law this morning. We're not to offend the weaker brother. If we're the one who can go ahead and do something with a clear conscience, we're not to try and compel somebody who is weaker and doesn't have that clear conscience to do the same thing. Because then we're not acting in love towards that brother. We are not to try and compel them to submit to us because we have a clear conscience in these matters which are of the conscience and are not straight from the moral law of God. We are to crucify self and all its appetites. So many scriptures talk about that. Put off the old man. Put on Christ. And I hope you will see in the light of all this that if we are submitting in all these areas of our lives, then we cannot get into the position that they were in at Corinth. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Peter. I follow one of the other apostles. There is no room for those kind of factions, that kind of party spirit in a church where everyone is submissive to one another and seeking to work out the will of God. Let's look, as we draw to a close, at the example of Christ. Has he left us an example that we should follow in this matter of submission? Well, of course he has. He went to the cross in submission to God, praying in the garden in Matthew 26:39, if it is not possible, but if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He submitted to God. Did he submit to the rulers of the church? Yes, he did, insofar as they were leading according to the will of God. Matthew 23, verse 2, the scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. He taught submission to the rulers of the church. Did he teach the example of submitting to one another? Yes. He washed his disciples' feet and said, do you realize what I have done for you? I, your Lord and Master, you call me that, and that's right because that is what I am. I have just washed your feet and left you an example that you should do the same for one another. Taking the place of the lowest servant to all of those who were his disciples. Was he subject to his parents? Yes, he was. That time when he went down to Jerusalem and stayed behind in the temple courts, and after 3 days they found him and brought him back to Nazareth. It says in Luke 2:51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Same word, yielding to them, because they had rightful authority over him. Did he submit to civil authorities? Yes, he did. Pilate said to him in John 19 and verse 10, "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above." He had authority. Pilate had authority, but it was given to him by God. And then I thought, well, what about a wife? It's difficult to think in those terms of Christ, but it isn't actually. Because Christ has a wife, a bride, and that is the church. And Ephesians 5:24 tells us, as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. So to conclude, this matter of submission is everywhere in the scriptures. It's a hallmark of godly people that they will submit, that they will resign their rights and their claims, that they will, as far as it is possible for them, live at peace with all men, that they will not put themselves forward, but rather they will relegate themselves to be the servants and the slaves of all. Because in doing that, they are walking in the footsteps of Christ, who is their Saviour and their Lord. So where are you and where am I this morning in this matter of submission and subjection? Where is our fellowship? Does it characterize us, as it undoubtedly should, if we are obeying these commands in Scripture? Would people come in among us and say, "My, what a humble people. They're all giving preference to others. They're all thinking others better than themselves. They're all seeking the interests of others before their own personal interests. See how they love one another." Is that what people will say when they come in here? It will be more and more what people say as God is more and more in our midst and sanctifies us by his word and makes us more like Christ, who is the very zenith in the example of submission. So let us renew our vows. Let us submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us humble ourselves, place ourselves last of all, seeking to be like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and to give him all the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you will help us to examine our hearts in the light of your word and to see to what extent the spirit of this age has infiltrated into our thinking, so that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, so that we look out for our own personal interests instead of those around us, so that we say, as many are heard saying in this day and age, "I will not submit anyway. I will be my own person, and I will not submit to him or to her in this matter." Father, help us to crucify our old selves. Help us, we pray, to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Make us like him in this, we pray. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.